With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Round six, done and dusted on a Sunday this time. It's a little unusual. We've got through every game on this weekend, and it has been an insane ride. JT here for the Sunday podcast, where we'll wrap up the weekend that was, and it was a, as you said, crazy old week. So yet again, like last week, I was joined by Wenon, poor old non-Tedesco owner. So this time we're mixing it up again. We've got a brand new guest on the podcast. He's been name dropped about three or four times, I think, just this year. So probably about time that we put a voice to the name. We got Shockey, one of my good mates, on the line. How
Hello,
are you,
JT. Buddy? Hey, everyone. How's it going?
It's just you and me, mate. No need to ask those sort of questions. No, but you're part of our Young Legends WhatsApp group. You've been part of that Supercoach League of Gentlemen for a couple of years now. So it's about time you got a call up here, because you're not doing too badly in the old Supercoach game this year, are you? How's that working out?
Oh, after this weekend, I think I need to reevaluate, that's for sure. Definitely was a crazy week, JT.
Yeah. Mate, you're not alone.
Bought in Teddy, so lovely to see that money go to waste.
Well done, mate. Yeah. Oh boy, it's been an absolute shocker on the injury front, left, right, and centre there. But a bit of background, mate, on you. So you were, I guess, a mad keen Broncos fan, but now the only thing I hear out of you these days is up the milk.
Look, I think I'm going to switch allegiances. It's not going too well for the Bronx. But I've played Supercoach probably for about 10 to 12 years now. Remember playing back at school. I was listening to the old Benny G's podcast and his intro, and so he was stealing all my lines. He sort of said all the same things that I was going to say, so I don't really need an intro.
How long have you been holding on to that one?
He's also a lot better than me in the old Supercoach ranking, so I can't really rip into him too much, can I?
No, he's had a pretty ordinary week as well, now that you speak of it. So it's probably worth segueing into a bit of an around the grounds in terms of Supercoach. So I like to look at how, I guess, our Young Legends leagues are filled with all the experts and a lot of the site contributors and yourself. So currently, of course, winning the round this week, it looked to be Nick again. Somehow that bloke is still flying high, 1179 he's landed on this week.
But didn't know who Bradman Best was, but anyway, we'll keep going.
Mate, it's unreal how effective sometimes just not knowing that sort of stuff can be, because I'm playing the AFL version of this game, and as you know quite well, I hate that sport with a passion. I've probably watched one game forcibly in my life, so I'm doing like 300th or something, and I've got no idea what's going on.
I can't believe that, mate. I actually haven't seen the photo or your pic to prove it, but...
Right. I'll wait to see how this week pans out, because on the other side, it's been a bit of a crazy old time in the AFL, with a player testing positive to COVID, a game being postponed completely this week. So normally it's the other way around. Normally NRL's dragging the chain, but we are absolutely kicking their ass this year.
Oh, JT, don't do the early crow. It's gonna happen, I think. At least we're not playing Victoria, I guess. I don't know. Hopefully not.
As I said that, the heavens opened outside here in Brizzy, so I don't know what I've done. I hope I haven't cursed us. It is bucketing down.
We are
flying ahead of the AFL this year. No COVID interruptions this week, thankfully. But, just looking around the Supercoach front, so 1,000 seems to be a pretty good score this week. I mean, it's probably on the bottom end. If you've cracked four figures, you've done well. I think 1,100, though, is probably where you'd want to be sitting to see sort of guaranteed green arrows. So luckily for me, I had a bit of a closer tonight with SJ, Corey Horsbrough, and Tommy Turbo. Yeah, so he got me up to 1,157 before updates. How did you go?
Yeah, I'm sitting at 1,044, so you're right. It looks like everyone in our league anyway is above the 1K mostly. But, yeah, this afternoon wasn't too great. Had Turbo, but obviously next week's not going forward. And just got run down in the head-to-head by Wenin with the old Katoa ton
up. Oh, mate. Yeah. Miracle. That'll see him straight into about 30,000. I think I've heard him say
Katoa's name about 30 times over the past half an hour, but anyway.
Yeah, no, he's got to take the small wins when they get there. Probably a good way, we'll head into, it's an insane week, suspensions and injuries. Normally we go through a couple of names on this podcast each week, and it's not been too bad, but I've got in front of me, let's just run through them. So firstly, I guess suspension. So who's been a bad boy on the field? For the Dragons, Jordan Pereira, high tackle. He'll see 2 weeks out, three possibly, if he challenges and is unsuccessful. Parramatta's Nathan Brown, he's two games back from suspension. And yeah, he's been cited for a high tackle that'll see him out for 2 weeks at a minimum with an early plea. For the Warriors, my boy Wade Egan, very interesting little moment in this game here where he eye gouged. Yeah, 1 to 2 weeks.
They cited him, right.
So I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, I guess it was pretty damning on that footage.
I mean, he's not looking at the player, but the fact is it just always looks so bad. But after Hudson Young ironically made his return from an eye gouge from last year just this week, it looks like Wade Egan might be our first to see some time on the sidelines for
it. The eye gouge after your player Josh Maguire is just always the king of it, isn't he?
Yeah, I wonder where he learned that from. Hey, speaking of, Pat Carrigan and Tom Flegger, they're out for the Broncos this week, your boys. Both
Josh
1 week.
Your boy, mate.
He's our grub now. That's fair. But yeah, Paddy Carrigan and Tom Flegler, both 1 week suspensions, possibly two for Carrigan if he challenges the charge.
Yeah.
I don't know. He got sin bin for this one in the game, and that was a bit of a controversial call. I know that they've tried to crack down on it in recent years, but you're staring through this through your maroon goggles,
I kind of agree, but yeah, I think it's been brought up a few times. I just hope they're consistent. Like, we saw Thurston used to always cop them and didn't seem to get the sin bins against him, but Big Pat got one on Piercy, I guess. But yeah, it was really late. I don't know, probably 1 week, probably fair enough. I didn't actually see Flegler's, or can't remember that. But
no, I'm not sure on that one either. He's a minimum week suspension, might be some carryover points there. And that's that judiciary list is pre today's games. I didn't see much in there. A couple of big hits in the Raiders game, but I don't think I saw anything suspension worthy, but we'll see how that goes.
I'm glad TPJ didn't get cited, by the way, because I thought that was one of the great tackles. Didn't look too great first, but one of the great tackles. Probably the only cheer I had on the night.
Mate, it didn't look good at all. Like, it looked from the angle we saw it like a complete shoulder charge, but then they found an angle, a photo where his arm was wrapping. So that's
always
absolutely saved
him. The old TPJ. He's not dirty. Yeah.
No, not at all. Injuries, mate, let's run through them. There's some real big Supercoach relevance in this one here. Top of my list today, this one is fresh, but Tommy Turbo, the troublesome hamstring has gone again.
It's a big pop.
Rubbish news. So grade two, I think they were citing it during the game, so I'd be interested to see how scans go, but he's looking at minimum 6 weeks on the sideline if that's the case. So
it's turning into a bit of a problem for him and his game, trying to get the consistent. I guess for Manly as well, hopefully he can get it all sorted, but it's like once every year, twice every year now. It's not going too good for him.
No, that's it. Not at such a young age as well. Got a long career ahead of him. He can't be carrying that sort of consistent niggle. As well for Manly, what a miracle it was today for him, given that they lost Brad Parker to an HIA very early in the game as well. I think within four minutes.
I think he did. Did he return? Did he come back to fullback? I'm probably talking out my ass here. I thought he was at fullback towards the end of the game. Maybe that was someone else.
I think that was old mate, the other guy. I'm always thinking he's a ranger, but the non-ranger centre.
Right.
Brendan Elliott. Brendan Elliott, I think.
Oh, he went back. Right.
He was gone, as well as Dylan Walker. He looks out for 8 to 12 weeks after falling awkwardly in a tackle there, doing some damage to his ankle. D-Walks in the wars, but Manly strung a win together somehow.
Not many people have Park or Walker. I think Tommy Turbo would be very much well-owned, so it's not good.
For the Tigers on Saturday night, in amongst their demolition of my boys, Alex Twal, big news there, very popular super coach option just this year, 3 to 6 weeks with an MCL based on the initial grading. So obviously scans still to come there, but rough news for owners there. I guess you've got to move him on.
Yeah.
Yep, well, that's easy. Done. Okay, cool. But the Tigers as well.
Yeah,
Rob Jennings made his return this week. Tommy Talau out with injury. Robert Jennings has done his hammy as well, 4 weeks minimum for him. Zane Musgrove scored an early try, gold for anyone that still hung on to him, early season cheapie, but he looks, I don't think he finished the game out. He had a foot injury. Saturday's other game, the Titans had another just shocker with injury there. So they lost young Tonumapia with a knee injury, Corey Thompson, brand new fullback with an HIA, and Philip Sammy, who filled in for Corey when he went off. He went off with a hamstring injury. So, geez, they just cannot take a trick, the poor Titans. Another one, it's fullback season this year. They're just in the news every week for one reason or another. But Teddy on Saturday night, was killing it as Turbo was to start the game, and HIA'd, he got absolutely wrecked with a capital W. That was first, a tough watch.
Yeah, first big run from Sivo all year, I think, and straight over Teddy.
Yeah, poor Teddy. He was in the sheds looking a little sick and sorry, but did get out on the field after the game. And I think Victor Radley was pretty confident he'd be right, but he's got to pass a six-stage protocol assessment during the week. So I think based on what NRL Physio was saying, it's sort of one day for each assessment. So, yeah, it'll be touch and go, but he's got the Dragons this week. So if you're a non-owner, you're crossing fingers that he just takes it easy. But if you're an owner and you've also got Turbo like I do, hoping that guy we can get out there.
I think fingers crossed. I think he'll be right. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it is the Dragons though, so yeah, depending on how confident the Roosters are feeling, that'll probably determine how he goes. The only other couple I've got down from the Rabbitohs and the Warriors, so Tom Amone, he's played a couple of games off the bench this year, but looks to have done an ACL, which could put him out for the season, unfortunate for him. Eli Katoa in the same game went off with an ankle sprain in the first half, but came back on straight after in the second and played the game out, but wasn't his usual effective self. I think, if I can take a breath, I think that's it for the injury stakes. A lot happening there. There'll be carnage all over the shop. Teamless Tuesday and... as soon as those that lockout finishes tomorrow, people will be shifting some things around. Before we get into the game by game, we'll go through our usual rocker, flopper, and shocker of the week. But I've given you your own little segment here, Will, and this is probably something we'll keep with. It's not necessarily super coach relevant, and we've pretty much just pinched it off the footy show, and I couldn't think of a better bossy title. Yeah, thanks, Bossy. But your top three stuff you may have missed from this week. What have you got?
Thanks for giving me the comedy segment on my first guest appearance, mate.
Didn't expect much.
Under the bus.
Didn't expect much technical, detailed supercoach knowledge. So you're the comedian. Go ahead.
Well, there was a few things, actually, thankfully, because I couldn't – I think it was yesterday or last night. I was like, God, I've got nothing here. Fergo with the goods, like how good's Fergo, like what a player, pretty jealous that he's playing for New South Wales right now, but he's so memeable. So you see where he apologized to the cardboard cutout after he hit the ball dead. That was a pretty good one in the Roosters game last night. I think NRL put that up on their Insta.
I didn't expect Fergo to have that kind of wit, but no, good on him. That was gold.
And then later on, he did the old fake brawl out the back of the Fracar in the Nathan Brown, Victor Radley little scuffle. He was out the back, I think, one of the Morris boys doing the old fake brawl again. So that was very good.
Winding the clock back to whatever it was, 2010, yeah. When the Morrises did that in the end goal. Good stuff.
Great stuff. I mean, Cam Smith, what a player, what a legend, but he can go overboard with the old wanting to ref the game. So I loved it. My second one here where Ashley Klein sort of check-raised him when Cam challenged, well, didn't end up challenging, but was complaining about a penalty that I think the Storm gave away, went up to Ashley and started protesting, and then Ashley just check-raised him and said, "Are you going to challenge it, mate? You're going to challenge it?" That was great.
He just walked away. That was brilliant. Shut him completely up.
Yeah, I think they showed it, and I don't think that he moved to obstruct him, so I think he would have won the challenge, to be honest.
Well, had his chance.
And, of course, thirdly here, the back end of the Knights game that I don't really want to discuss too much, but this put a smile on my face. One of the crowd, the few crowd in the Knights game right at the end when they were slotting over, I think Pong was doing a kick, yelled out the old, "You suck, Darius."
And it came through, as clear as day. It was absolutely brilliant. Poor old Darius didn't even contribute to that try being scored either. That was, I think, the Mitchell Pearce one straight through the middle. So
we didn't contribute in the game, mate, so...
Oh, boy. Well, that's probably a good time. We'll take a quick break here and come back in with the Around the Grounds for each game of the week, the good and the bad. And, yeah, we'll try and rush through it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Alrighty, back now, and we'll go game by game here. What we saw, what was relevant, what was good, what was bad. Let's start with the bad. Well, the Knights and the Broncos. Boy, your Friday mornings waking up must be bloody rough these days.
Yeah,
mate.
I'm really sick of the Thursday games. Oh, God, yeah, absolute flopper of the week. Anthony Milford, 19 points. I mean, he didn't do much. I don't know what your thoughts were.
Yeah, he's won this award. I've completely skipped over my own segment here, but no, good way to bring it back. But flopper of the week, without doubt, Anthony Milford with his 19 points. I think that's his third game in the teens so far this year. So he's going from absolute strength to strength, and I feel like this award will just be named after him to see the year out. But he's got a decent stretch coming up, and I know there's a few guys hanging on to him, Semi.
Yeah.
Wilf, obviously, you know, they've still got him. Whether he even plays, you know, is he going to get dropped for Dearden? Like, what's your read in there?
Well, it'd be interesting. I think Seawald after the game said something, and I think it's about time for something to be done. I don't know if it's him or some of the other more senior players, but mate, he's been here 5 years. He's taking us to a grand final. I mean, what's happening right now just kind of isn't good enough from him, and. You don't really want to blame it down on him, but I think the coaches have made a call on someone, and I don't think it should be Croft.
Hmm. And that's it. Croft's got a he's brand new into that side, whereas Milford's had a lot of time in there and been given a fair few opportunities. So whether you move him to fullback even, does he prefer there? I'm not too sure.
I think you could roll the dice on that, to be honest. I mean, Asako's not you know, lighting the world on fire. Poor Bird was meant to start there, so Asako didn't really have the rub of the green, but Yeah, something needs to change. So it could be Milford.
Yeah. In that same game as well, I've got the shocker of the week, and that's one Daniel Saifidi. So he's flown well under the radar here. So 101 points, I should say, for this week. So
looks like it.
Absolutely killed it. And he's made so far 126 grand since round one. So had a break even of 48. So he's going to skyrocket in price there. He's got Origin written all over him, end of the year. But well done to Daniel Saifidi. 6% owned. So yeah, a very handy pod there. And rocker of the week, unfortunately, it looked like being Teddy. It looked like being Turbo, but couldn't stay on the park. And so it, end of the day, goes to Damien Cook, who's finally broken through this year. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting. He hasn't quite kicked on with this new six again rule, but on Friday night, he tore the poor old Warriors to shreds. So 108 points for him, and looks, if that's the way he's going to play the game for the rest of the year, he looks like a guy we'll be bringing back in very soon. Had a break even of 85, so he'll make a bit of cash. I was more impressed by, I guess, his 8 runs. So over the last couple of weeks, he's been running it, but not really doing too much. So good to see him finally break through there.
Agreed.
585K, so that's probably as cheap as he's ever going to get in this caper. But
It was funny at the start of the year when everyone was saying, well, not the start of the year, after the COVID break, saying, oh, this is laid out for Cook, this new six again rule. And we haven't really seen it, but looks like Souths are clicking into gear, so probably more to do with that, not really on him. So he probably will keep it up, to be honest. I think he would be probably a good buy.
Yeah, if only we didn't have to make 700 other trades this week. But D. Cook, very handy option. All right, let's get into the game. So as we said, Knights and Broncos, tough one for you to watch there. A lot of good here for the Knights, so a fair few in the 70s. Mitch Pearce has, I think, had his by far his best game of the year with 100 points and a try that he should not have scored at the end there, very easily stepped on through. Kalen Ponga, 78 points, a fair few coming in goals. Didn't quite have as much of an impact as I would have thought on this game. He ran the ball 15-odd times, which is probably a little low for him. But no try assists, no tries of his own. So, just purely a line break and a few busts here and there. But, very handy score, and he'll be, I'm sure, number one traded in goal.
It's going to be the T-Turbo to Ponga will be probably the most trade unless you need to downgrade, but I think that's probably an easy one.
Yep. Dave Clemmer as well for the Knights bounced back after a very low 39 last week. He hit 75 this time around in around the same old 50-odd minute stint from him, so he was quite handy. Kurt Mann, if you've still got hold of him, he looked like he would be out with an ankle injury a couple of weeks ago. He's played on through, and he strolled on through for that first try and was heavily involved for the rest of the game, finished with a 72. Now, when you're making guys like Kurt Mann look good, mate, there's issues.
Yeah, the man animal looks great. I mean, I think he's a good pod. If he makes us look, I don't know. I thought he played really well, though, to be honest. I think he was playing a bit better than Pierce.
Yeah, true. He's looks very settled into that that role he's got there. So good to see for Kurt Mann. And I blame Lakey well and truly, because at the start of the year he was saying Kurt Mann's rubbish and he won't hold down that spot for longer than a week. Thanks, Lakey. A couple of your boys here in the goods. Xavier Coates, runaway try, intercept 52. So he sees his third game this week. Toss up between him and Hammer Time for the Cowboys for cheapies you could go to this week. TPJ, he's 62 in Supercoach, but gee, I thought that was a pretty ordinary game NRL-wise after a couple of big shots there. He was just throwing dumb offloads. Like, I don't know, what was your read on it?
Yeah, I think he just needs to play a bit more and stop getting suspended every week.
That's the tonic.
Yeah, good. I think he'll – we're not playing good, so I don't think he's going to be a hold for the rest of the year or anything like that, but I think he'll have some good scores to come. I think Coates is probably a good buy. I mean, probably talking through my maroon tinted glasses here, but it looks like we're kicking to him a lot and he's gunning the air. And look, I think the past couple of weeks he's been like our focus in attack. So I think he could continue to be good cheapie.
Yeah, you got a reasonable run coming up, so we'll see. Yeah. If you can't turn it around here, you probably, like my side, never will. For the bad, and he's, I don't think, ever been in this list, but Payne Haas, just 54, and he was he your captain this week?
Yeah.
That's a really low score, and I can't quite work out what it was. He got downgraded after the game, so I think he was sitting on around 60 or so, which usually means he'll uptick to nearly 70. But, yeah, just 10 runs all game, which is very low, 39 tackle points with a few misses in there. So, I mean, I guess the game is a bit scrappy and not a lot going for him.
No offload. And I think when he makes that many tackles, a bit like Lolo, like he's just not as damaging with the ball. So probably just to forgive him and keep playing him.
Mm. And had a stint as well. I think he ended up through 59 minutes. So, again, not the 80 we're used to seeing from him. Anthony Milford, we've talked about him, 19 points. How hilarious. Bradman Best had his quietest game so far. So didn't find the line this game. They were going down man's edge pretty much the whole night. So not a lot for Bradman to do, but still made 14 runs, which is what you want to see from a center wing. You'll occasionally get this sort of game, I guess. So. Fortunately, the average dips below that 90, but we had to expect that.
The life of a centre gets a 38. Yeah, I think he's still. I think he's going to be this year sort of Jerry. I think he's going to score a lot of tries this year. So.
No, I do. I like the look of the Knights. It's Friday's game. We got to watch this one in the pub. It was a good little night out, this one. But 6 p.m. game, the Rabbitohs. In the end, tailing up the Warriors 40-12, but it was a little closer than that throughout the game. A fair few contentious calls and tries the Warriors probably should have scored. But yeah, you've got to take those chances, I guess. As we've said at the top, so Rocker of the Week, Damien Cook, 108 through his 8 runs, scored a try as well, set one up. He was all over it. Torfu Harris, my guy.
Your boy.
Yeah, well, I thought he broke the line. Could have just passed over the top, but it got intercepted or knocked down. So that was a try assist going
wasn't
there.
Was that the forced dropout you wanted?
Yeah, that's a fair call. That's true, actually. He threw the ball. It got knocked down by the Rabbitohs defense and then forced in goal. So I think, in fairness, I don't see it in his score currently, and that's an absolute rort. Harry Grant clearly didn't deserve one the other
echoes,
day.
Echoes of that.
But yeah, no, I don't think that's a forced try as much as I'd love it. But it would be hilarious if I got it and Wilfred never got Harry Grant's, but I can't do that to the poor boy. But yeah, Torhu, he just moved all over the park as well. He was starting off in the middle, then he shifted to the edge. I think he covered for Katoa at times. Didn't play out the 80, so got a 10-minute spell for Blair. But he looks rusted on at this stage until at least Jazz comes back. For the Bunnies, fair few points on offering here, so you expect to see the likes of Latrell with his 71, but just the 10 runs. So, again, not huge for a fullback, but it's, I guess, the quality of his involvement. So a couple of try assists there. And, he was a bit upset in the sheds.
Yeah. I mean, good on him. He's really turned it around after, I guess, getting blasted at the start of the year, with his fitness or whatever. I think that the crow was on him, but... And last 2 weeks, he's been unreal. So good on you, Latrell.
No, well done, turning the corner. So I brought him in this week. I'm relatively happy with that one. Cam Murray for Bunnies as well, 68. No real attacking stats, though, I don't think. But, again, a 60-minute spell. So he's finding some form in the middle, back in that lock jersey. Cody Walker had a bit of a roller coaster sort of day. So he was sin bin at one point. Came back out, scored a try, and had a hand in two others, finished with a 63. But, without that sin bin, he's probably flying.
Yeah, for sure. I'm surprised that's still that low for the try, two assists. But I guess I missed the minutes too.
Yeah, that's a fair call. But he'll be on his third game this time around. That 5-8 spot looks a bit of a lottery this year, so he'll have a fair few looking at Cody over the coming weeks. A couple of bad ones. Katoa, as we said, ankle injury first half. So saw his way just to 27 points, but did find his way back out there on the in the second half. So played the game out, which is good to see. But a guy here that's just fallen so far off the radar, RTS 26 he finished with, came into this week with a break even of 92 and has averaged only 45 this year. In a year where fullbacks are just killing it.
Premium. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. I guess it's one less decision, but I don't know. I guess we're just used to seeing him being a bit more, I don't know, productive attacking-wise. I just haven't seen it. I don't think he's playing bad or anything, though. I just don't think it's, you know, I think the worry is maybe he's just not getting the service, I guess.
Now, there's interesting times ahead for the Warriors with the coach sacking and all that.
Unbelievable. Can't believe that sacking. Feel so sorry for the guy.
Completely out of the blue. It's obviously a fair bit more to it than what we've been led to believe in the media and that. After, I think they were saying it was the one bad loss against the Bunnies. But, after a big win last week against competition heavyweights, the Cowboys. It's
the shootout game. But it's one of the toughest jobs. I mean, they've had to come over to Australia, have been fighting through this pandemic, living away from their families. I mean, they haven't done too badly, right? Like, pretty much everyone had written them off, and they've won a couple of games. This wasn't too much of a drubbing. I mean, there was a couple of contentious calls, like I said at the start. So, I don't know, there must be something deeper with Stephen Kearney for sure.
Yeah, I think there was even a betting market on whether the Warriors would win another game this year, which you've gone out and won two. So, absolutely exceeding expectations. But interesting time ahead to see what happens with matchups and who plays where and that sort of thing. But we'll see how that goes for them. Friday's second game, we were probably about eight beers into it by the time this one rolled around. Shout out Winghouse. Storm getting done by the Penny Panthers, 21-14. This is a surprise result.
Yeah, for sure. I kept always thinking watching this that the Storm were just going to come back. But, I mean, we could have kind of seen it coming. I think the Panthers really took the Eels last week, took them right to the end. And, you know, Christian Crichton just got burnt by Wunga Blake twice. So I think the Panthers are the real deal back with Cleary back.
Yeah, well, that's it. Cleary finished with – he had a quiet game last week, but he got a 76 this time around, a kick – try assist to Billy Kickow, and then a field goal, a couple of forced dropouts, I think, there. So he did quite well. I was a bit worried about this matchup, but he came through pretty handily. On the other side of the ledger, Cam Munster, 105. So watching this game, you know, he wasn't running it a great deal, but if you look at some of his stats here, two try assists, three line break assists, three busts, two offloads, 29 tackles, just the seven runs. But, that's Cam Munster. He's a bit of an all-rounder, but it's amazing. He has this 100-point game and he'll go out next week and score a 40.
Yeah, he's a bit like that, but a bit like the Storm at the moment as well, like they're finally coming back to the pack, I think. I don't want to say it too early because they will probably make the grand final yet again, but, Munster's really in form. I think the six again thing, he's just sort of playing a bit of footy, and I think he's the one running around. Now Cam's sort of aging. I don't think he gets much help next to him and with his halves partner, so big Cam, I think, is a massive 5'8 shout.
Yeah, interesting. For the Panthers, fair few options here for people. Coro, 76, Yo, 70. Mansour, 57 with a try assist down that edge there. So, again, a lowish sort of score for Mansour, but given he scored a try last week and an assist this week, I thought he'd have a higher ceiling than that, but you're not miserable at a 57 against the Storm, I guess, so you'll take that.
Definitely.
Bad for this game, Ryan Papenhuyzen. This was the week to get rid of him. And if you didn't, I guess on the brighter side, after his 25 here, it means you've missed a Teddy and Turbo sort of injury. But 25, he's just not kicked on at all this year. So I've got him in draft, but I sold him this week. I sold him last week, I should say, to Teddy. I haven't looked back there. Yep, so we've made a right call there, but sooner or later, he's going to explode. He's just taking his time.
Yeah, probably a bit like the RTS is what we were saying before, just not really happening for him. I don't know. He's not really breaking the line and running with that unreal acceleration like we normally see. I don't know if it's – I think it's just the Storm aren't playing too well again.
Yeah, you'd think they'll be back eventually, but yeah. We'll see. For the only other bat I've got down here is Billy Kickow. So I scored a try and played 70 minutes, but could only get 52. So I think you've got him, right?
Yeah, I've got Kickow. I mean, I was cheering very loud when he scored that try. I was not expecting a Kickow catch. But, yeah, I think I've got to move him on, right? That's too low. His base is just awful, I guess.
Yeah, and he's also splitting the minutes now. You've got Liam Martin there, who's playing 80 minutes as well. JFH obviously plays big minutes there. So it looks like he's the one missing out. I've got the Bunnies next week as well, Tigers after that, so and then the Sharks. So they're all like relatively handy opposition as well. But, Kickow is just a bit of a roller coaster this year. And mentioned Cam Smith, hit his first game below 70 all year with a 59. The back chat from the referee was absolute gold, highlight of the game.
Yeah, he'll be
Saturday, big game here, Dragons and the Titans, 20-8 to the Dragons. It was one of the worst games I think I've watched probably since Dragons and Bulldogs a couple of weeks ago. But, scrappy old affair. But we finally saw Zach Lomax rack up an attacking stat. So he finished the game with I've got him down for 74 here, but I think he got updated today. Broke the line for the game's first try, fed the ball from Dufty. So that was Wennen's big buy of the week. And Dufty himself finished with a handy 75 points there. So it's nothing like a good old Titans game to bounce back to a bit of form there. But if you got Lomax and your pod Dufty this week as Wennen did, you're cheering.
Yeah, I guess he would be. You'd probably be wanting more, right? I mean, against the Titans, away, you finally turned the corner last week against the Sharks. You probably want a bit more from Dufty and Lomax in, I guess, a win, but it's not too bad.
No, I mean, neither of them made Lomax only made the one error. Like it was an interesting game. Dufty himself looked like he'd break through a number of times, but just pulled down in the last-ditch sort of tackle. Lomax got four goals as well. That boosted his score. But, expecting a ton from someone in this game. I don't know who it was going to be, but Lomax topped the scoring at 86. So I think most people, if you still had him, you definitely played him on that matchup. So you're happy there.
Ooh, I don't know what I'm thinking, man.
Who'd you play over him?
I've got Yeo Mansour. Oh, I played your boy Hammer over him. That's who I played him.
We'll get to that. Surprising one here. Not really too surprising, I guess, but Moaki Fotuaika, 75 points, and he's just kicking on this year.
Yeah,
so three round average of 70 coming into this game here. Played the one game off the bench to start the season, but since then has gone 87, 67, 57, and now the 75. So he's going from strength to strength. And with Twal now looking on the sidelines for a couple of weeks, he firms as a pretty handy option to replace him. Any love from you?
Mate, agreed. I'm just thinking that. I think it's going to be the Twal to Fotuaika for sure as well. I mean, unless we get any other news on Twal, it won't be, you know, the 3 to 6 weeks. I think Fotuaika is a buy for sure, or even a bit of an upgrade from some of the other cash cows in your prop. Maybe a Carrigan, yep. I don't know.
Yeah, Carrigan, if he's out a week or so, and he's going to have a pretty high break even coming back as well. So he could be, Moaki with he's only going to be 500-odd K, break even of 57 heading into this week. So he's cleared that. Should maybe go to about 520 or so. So very affordable. Other one I've got here for the good, Jai Arrow, 64, mostly base. Again, nothing too exciting from him, but I guess he's not the most highest of your problems if you've still got him there, but definitely not kicking on as owners would have hoped. For the bad, so it's unusual you've got a 56 in here, but Cam McInnes, hugely traded in option this week, given his form to start his season, and coming up against the Titans in this new roving running role that he's got, you'd thought he's going to open himself up to a fair few attacking stats, but didn't quite turn out that way. So the 56 he's ended up on, 58. A couple of runs in there, but I guess he's just not doing the tackling that.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's the tackling and just sort of getting into the game a bit more. I think he's probably working out what to do, how to play, how to get involved, where I think, you know, when he plays the 80 at dummy half, I think, you know, he's been playing that for years and is finally smashing it there. So, yeah, we'll see with McInnes.
Interesting times ahead with Jack DeBellin and potentially something happening with his court case and getting thrown out or whatever I'm hearing.
Oh, really?
There. So, yeah, if that that happens this week, very interested to see what happens with JDB, who's been training with the side, is apparently ready to go and one of their weapons. So if he comes back in and starts at lock, maybe that ends the McInnes to second row experiment. But so far it's been working okay. But, yeah, keep your eyes out for
that
one.
Yeah, that's a strange one. That's a big wait and see. Yeah.
Mm. So it could be early this week that all gets played out, if what I'm hearing is correct. So interested to see how that all goes down. Other bad I've got here, Terrell Fuimoono. Ended up getting a bit of an upgrade here to 36, but poor old Stiles, he missed Bradman Best last week. If you listen to the Tuesday pod I had with him, missed Bradman Best by the skin of his teeth a minute after lockout and ended up having to go for little old Fui. And Fui got a bit of a rough run the last couple of weeks. I think his run as a cash cow has well and truly come to an end. Rough stuff for Stilesy. I didn't want to get here, but Tigers 36 defeating the Cowboys 20. I can't speak on this, mate. I'm just going to throw it to you. Can you, in a very short, like a minute or so, just run through this game and then we'll never speak of it again?
Mate, I've had to talk to the Bronx. This is one of our worst years. I mean, I didn't catch this game. I watched some of the highlights today, but in one of my chats, everyone was just loving Grant, saying he looks like a player, he looks like a Queensland dummy half option. So I think Grant, everyone's probably bought him that week a couple of weeks ago, so glad to see him rolling out the scores. Nofo, I mean, I think it was one of Nick's pickups from the start of the year, wasn't it? He's just going from strength to strength.
Yeah, 78 he ended up on, so he was sitting at 60. So I think they missed a line break assist and a few busts. So, yeah, 78. Nice one, Cowboys.
Mate, Drinky had a good game. I mean, anyone that held him, I think I had to hold him. He got, a 91. Good for him. What are your thoughts on him going forward, or you really don't want to talk about it?
I mean, I traded him out this week for SJ, ended up okay. But no, the thing with Drinky, and I'm watching this from a Cowboys fan's perspective, not a super coach one, and his defense is fucking ordinary. Like the way he shot out of the line and then not even putting a hand on some of the Tigers forwards strolling over was just disgraceful. One of the worst halves I've ever watched in my time. And do you know the worst part was I'd went over for a little culture catch-up with a few mates, one of them being Timmy, who's been on this podcast before, a massive Tigers fan. So we're sitting there in his house, so I can't say anything, can I? And I'm watching this whole thing go down, and he is one of the loudest people you've ever watched a game of football with in your life. So I'd be sitting there watching that unfold, and in my ear I've got this Tigers fanatic just hee-haring. It was a tough old slog. But
you would have taken that well, mate.
I what can you do? At the end of
the day,
did you
leave the house like you leave the chats all the time?
Wow, mate. Moving on. I did set you up for that one. Well played. Well played.
It's an easy one. Easy target.
Oh, God, yeah, other than that, Lolo got like 70-odd, but spilled the ball off the first run of the game, 76 he finished with, but that just about summed it up. He still doesn't look 100%. Who else? Let's go to the bad, the Cowboys, the whole side, every single one of them. Cohen Hess finished with 48, so he's due a trade-out over the coming weeks. It was bang on his break-even, which is okay. Hamizo had a rough start. He just got smashed nearly every run. Opened up a little bit for him in the second half, so he finished with a couple of attacking stats and 37. But, yeah, he would have been, I think you're not alone in playing him this week, so tough stretch there. Twal, we mentioned MCL injury at the top of the pot, so he finished with just the 29 points. Yeah, which stings, break even to 55. He'll lose a bit of cash and looms a trade out, but has done pretty well to start the year, so you can't complain too much if you own him there. The other one here, I've got Ben Hampton, the bad. So he stepped onto the field for about 10 minutes while we had a litany of injuries and could have scored a try, but stepped on the line, classic Cowboys, and saw his way to 2 points. So I held on to him thinking he'll get like 20 minutes spell at dummy half, make a few tackles, hit his break even to 23. He missed it by a mile. And that stings. Hopefully, yeah, he's going to be a trade out if he gets named again at 14 this week. So with a few injuries, Kyle Felt picked one up in the game as well, little leg cut. I'm not sure if he'll miss any game time, but if he does, hopefully it's Hampton onto the wing and can salvage some points so I don't have to trade him. But, yeah, anyway, let's move on. Never speak of that one again.
Saviour off, the old Saviour Morgan.
Val and McLean are a week away, so they won't play this week. Morgan, just the time keeps getting blown out. It was 2 weeks and four, now it's 6 to 8. I think his shoulder's had it. So this is the year that it just gets fixed up, but it's a problem every year for the poor bloke. But he's a while away, so I think if you've got Cowboys in your side, we've got a horrible run coming up, so get rid of him outside of the hammer.
Yeah, I think it's Lolo only, I think.
Well, yeah, true. Sorry, Lolo. Forgot you. Roosters 24 defeating the Eels 10. So you saw a couple of ordinary games on the Saturday. Finished off with a cracker here. And the Roosters just found a way to win out of backs to the wall. Basically, once you saw Sivo go over and Teddy go off, you thought Eels are going to run away with it here. But
I said that in the chat and I got called up 2 minutes later. Like, how good are the Roosters? It's unreal.
Just the way that they can just transform players. I don't know, I think it was maybe Rob Sutherland, someone put up on Twitter, like, what the hell did the Bulldogs do? Were they just giving the Morris twins Valium for the entire 2 or 3 years that they had them?
2020, I remember Brett Morris getting, what, top try scorer 2010. 10 years later and he's still as good as ever. Like, I don't know, like, was he just in the wrong environment, the Dogs? I guess it's weird.
You're going from, you know, guys like, I can't dig too deep. I can't throw stones given we've just talked about my side. But, yeah, Brett Morris, 71 Supercoach points. So he had a negative 55 break even, which at 560K. Wow. Yep, insane. So I said, like, yeah, surely he's just been scoring tries left, right, and center. It has to dry up eventually, but it's not. So Brett Morris, who would have thought? 2020, he's one of the gun super coach center wings. His brother, Josh, did handle it as well, 96 points. Daniel Tupou, 94. Again, he had a quiet week last week, but this week was his turn for a couple of tries. Teddy's the big one, obviously, here. He found his way to 63, which you're not complaining too much about there, given he missed probably, I think it's 20, 25 minutes at the end of the game, but he was carving them up. So it could have been anything again, this one, but 63, I've captained him as a fair few people would have. Not the worst option at the end of the week, but yeah, quiet one for him. Angus Crichton, 65, a little quieter for him after he's just been doubling up over the last couple of weeks. It's probably all it for the Roosters.
Yeah, I think you want to be all over them. They're just scoring for fun. I mean, this new rules, I mean, I don't want to say they're a bit late because I'm sure the money's going up for the likes of Brett and Josh and Tupou and Crichton, but God, like, if you got any spare cash and you're tossing it up, I'd bring him in. They're just scoring for fun. Like, if we held the grand final tomorrow, like, there's no team that's going to beat the Roosters right now. They're going that well.
Yep, and we play them in a couple of weeks, which is just I don't want to watch it. But anyway, for this one, for the Parramatta Eels, Ryan Madison was the go-to again. 91 points. Just offloads. I don't own him, and I need to bring him in at some stage, probably this week if I can. But he'll be nearly 700K. Offloads at will, got 3 in this game, 6 tackle busts, 47 tackles, and he's run the ball 13 times, which is just every stat you want to see from a second rower that plays on the edge. So well done to Maddo there. Nathan Brown, 95. It's got to be his biggest score for quite a while, but, sees himself on the sidelines again.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't think it was too bad, but he probably will get a week with all of the carryover or previous sighting or whatever. Mm.
Yeah, fair call. The bad I've got here, Mitch Moses, 26 points. That, yeah, I mean, he was playing the Roosters and they didn't get a lot going in the first half, but the second half was all Dylan Brown on that edge there and Matto setting a few things up. Moses is just playing a bit part sort of role at this stage. Hasn't really done much since the COVID break, but just got to hold him until he comes up against a weak opposition because he's a flat track bully. I think one of your mates is a crutch in the chat that we have. Yeah, just hates him.
Yeah, hates him so much. And yeah, I own him. And yeah, I think you're right. There's too many other fires to blow out, but I probably would move him on to Dylan Brown. Dylan Brown seems to be the better of the two options right now, but you've got to keep Moses, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, scores of 59, 56, and 55, so they're not the worst, but the 26 is definitely his poorest output for the year. Sunday, so huge couple of games here. Raiders getting done by Manly out of nowhere. Did not see this result coming about 5 minutes into the game, but Manly found a way to win. Courtesy of, I guess, Tommy Turbo at the start of the game was just howling the Raiders up, scored a try and set one up of his own. He was well on his way to a ton before that unfortunate hammy injury. 77 points from him before updates. No one else really from the Manly side's too relevant there. Fenua Blake, again, a starting effort with Tapau out with a 61. He'll upgrade a fair bit there, but he was pretty handy. For the Raiders, Elliot Whitehead, 101. So that's come out of nowhere. I own him in draft.
I think he scored, though.
I own him in draft, and I was playing you this week, but you also own Tommy Turbo, and I played Philip Sammy for some reason, so I think I've been pumped by you there.
Interesting you bringing up draft. I was going to drop this into the pod, but you did it for me, mate. I think I can throw it 40 ahead. Hopefully tomorrow there's no crazy updates. Thanks for playing, mate.
Right. Well, you beat me, I think, in every head-to-head I've played you this year across our few leagues, like by 10 or less points. So I'm a bit over it. It's probably why I brought you on, mate, just give you some sort of celebration. But, yeah, nothing other than that really caught my eye in the Super Coach.
Well, it's such a low-scoring game. I mean, I was listening to it on the Triple N radio call, and, yeah, it just seemed very grindy. I caught it last 10 minutes or so. But I think the Raiders, to be honest, they probably should have won the game. I think Croker just dropped it after catching a bomb. Raps just went out right at the end. So they went over to win, but obviously both got denied. But I think the Raiders, yeah, they're not looking too strong, unfortunately. Like, you and I know someone who works for the Raiders. He wanted to leave the chat today.
Yeah, it's a common thing. There's nothing worse than being in a group chat when your team has gotten pumped, mate, and that's happened to us an awful lot this year. Luckily, you've got Wennan, who backs you up with every Broncos thing. I've only got Benny G, who's too busy watching bloody AFL. So you can hand in his Cowboys membership, Benny G. What have we got? George Williams, 30 points.
30, I'm looking at that.
Yeah, but he still looked good. I didn't mind his game. He was the one that put up the kick that Croker just spilled before the line and did look handy there, but most of his points were from tackling. Kotrick, 18 points, very uninvolved. It's a bit of a pod play at this stage of the year, but not getting the job done. Yeah, and my boy Corey Horsburgh. Corey's made his way back. I'm surprised the old dodgy sausages didn't make it into the top stuff you may have missed. Yeah. Missed the game last week with gastro, found his way back out there. He got 53 before updates. He did throw about three offloads, so should update to around the 60 mark, which is pretty handy given some of the front row carnage we've got. Yeah, so last game. Sure.
I'm so surprised. Sorry to cut you in there, JT. Garrick, 26. I mean, last year so promising. I think I have him in draft and he's goal kicking, but I think the Eagles are just winning with like sort of low scores and things like that. It's not really clicking into gear, not really going down his side. Serena, 56, that's good on him. I think he scored though.
Yeah, he got put over by Tommy in that first half. So, yeah, I think he's a 171K option. So he's played his second game this week. So he'll have his third next week. But, yeah, it's flown under the radar a bit. We've all been looking at Coates and the hammer, but Tavita Funa. A fair few injuries creeping about there. So I wonder if he'll hold his spot down. What else we got? Yeah, I think that's probably it.
About it. Yeah.
Moving on, I missed another segment at the start of the pod. So trade fail. God, I'm useless at these things, as you can tell.
How long have you been doing this?
Three rounds. I think ever since I've done it, we've lost every game, so I should stop it. But yeah, trade fail of the week. Someone traded out Ryan Madison to Curtis Sirenin. What?
Like, why?
I don't get what these people are doing. Like, Curtis Sirenin, I think he was injured last week, found his way back. He got 51, but it's Madison,
who's
premium second rower, and Curtis Sirenin. Interesting play. I don't know what Nana Zero was doing, but good on her.
Probably still above me, so yeah.
Alrighty, let's get through this last one quickly. We'll beat the hour mark. Sharks getting the job done over the Bulldogs. Crazy old game, this one. Bulldogs had a chance to win it at the death, just fell short. For the Sharkies, as we said, Sione Katoa, 111 points, 3 tries. I think Lakey, Wenon, and Wilf all had him. So our group chat was pretty much nothing but Katoa.
For yeah, exactly. Hour. I just read Katoa for about an hour.
Yep, so well done to him. He's playing on the edge that the Sharks are favouring at the moment. So was on the end of a couple of handy balls, one from Townsend and a couple from Johnson, including a kick. So SJ himself got 72, missed a couple of goals, could have been 80. But no, I'll take that as a new addition to the side. What else have we got? Matt Moylan made it back out for his first game in a while. 23 points and went off for an HIA after getting destroyed.
He got dropped.
That was rough. I mean, good news for him is that he's made it out. I guess bad news for Will Kennedy owners. So Kennedy was named at fullback this week, but obviously Moylan, the mail was that he'd be right to play, and that's how it played out. So hopefully Kennedy makes it back at some stage, because Moylan just doesn't look like he's going to hang on to that spot for too long before he gets injured. For what else? We've got Toby Rudolph, 41 points. You're happy with that? Yeah. He's probably nearing his end. He had an 11 break even heading into this week, so one or two price rises left. Hopefully he can keep churning out the cash. Britton Okora, 27 points, including a sin bin. So he was one of Wenon's big picks. So you win some and you lose a lot if you're Wenon in 2020. But, He'll come good. Jesse Ramien on that same edge, the edge that was meant to do everything, 41 points. It's basically just pass it to Katoa. So those poor guys are going to get cut out. But the Doggies, 74 points from my boy Will Hopewadi. So I've been spruiking him as a bit of an option over the last couple of weeks now that he's back to fullback. I don't think you watched this game, but he looked pretty dangerous, ran a couple of good lines there, was very handy at the back. So 74 points, not a huge score, might update a bit there, but definitely one I'm keeping my eye on, hopefully before he goes too ballistic. Do you like a bit of Hopper?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I didn't watch this game, but 74, topping the Dogs, and yeah, I think he's looking strong at the back there. I guess he's a player. You probably want Katoa more, but, yeah, who knows. I don't really want anyone from the Dogs, to be honest. I think I'll pass on him.
Yeah, fair call. The one you do probably want, or if you haven't got him now, maybe he still is an option, but Jake Avarillo.
Yeah.
So he was a cheapie at the start of the year, came off the bench and has now played his way into that starting side. Negative 4 break even, and he's finished with a 63 before update, 62 before updates. So he had a cracker of a game and looks very dangerous with the ball in hand. So again, all these center wing cheapies and just no trades to bring them all in.
No.
But yeah, he's done very well for himself. That's probably the end of our round wrap, mate. We've nearly gone the hour. I thought we'd get it done in half an hour, but we just love chatting. I don't know if you've listened to some of our lockdown ones, but we usually get the guest on, especially for their first time, to close the pot out with a bit of a song. So I know you've had a couple of beers and you've warmed up the vocal cords, and I've heard you at karaoke before. Up. So if you could give us in honor of our sides, basically 2020 is over for them and it's been an ordinary run. Can you give us a bit of Everybody Hurts by REM to close us out?
No, I will not do that. I'll do a bit of Where the Broncos, the Mighty Broncos. Yeah.
You haven't been singing that one for a while, but you got the Titans this week, so who knows. But no, thank you very much. I'm a bit disappointed at the end there, but
you told me I might have done it.
We'll see. We'll get you back next time, mate. It's been good fun. Thank you very much for jumping on, mate. Hopefully, if I catch you in a head-to-head later down the track, I'll be a little more prepared next time. But no, you're going well, so we'll see. Thanks again for coming on.
My pleasure, mate.
And I'll chat to you next time, mate. A couple of big podcasts coming up this week, Teamless Tuesday and Trades. Don't miss them. Have a good one.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.